And welcome to episode 68, I think. Is that what we're on?
I don't know.
I think it's 68 of Up and In.
67 and a half.
Maybe we'll deal with that. We'll explain why in a second. Of Up and In, the Baseball Perspectives podcast in DeKalb, Illinois. I'm Kevin Goldstein, joining me from a hotel lobby in Arizona, Wilson Parks. Jason, say hello to the internet.
Howdy.
We're going to have a little different show for you tonight. It's going to be a much shorter show, and we're going to explain why. Jason, as you know, or not know, well, you know now, is in Arizona. Jason can't do the show from his room, so he's actually like in the lobby of his crappy Holiday Inn doing the show.
I'm actually out by the pool.
There you go. He's actually out by the pool. I am here in DeKalb, and if you saw me post, I did not do the improv show on Saturday. I caught something, and I am still sick. We both have things going on that we need to take care of professionally. We both have things going on we need to take care of personally. It is the worst friggin' week ever for us to do a podcast. But we want to do a podcast, so we're going to do this whole thing in one raw shot. There will be no emails this week. Still email us, podcast@baseballperspectives.com. There will be no goofy stuff this week. That said, we still love goofy stuff. We're just going to talk about the craziest night in the history of baseball being last night. We're going to talk about our playoff picks, and we're going to talk about Ozzie, because that was an incredible story in its own right. And then we'll be done. We didn't want to leave anyone hanging, but there was just not a full show was not in the cards. I apologize up front, but I think we'll still at least get you something, and that's what we wanted to. And it's not like we don't love you. We still love you, right, Jason?
Yeah, sure, whatever you say.
We'll talk about Jason's adventures in Arizona, and we'll talk about Instructs next week. We'll do the five more prospect teams next week. I saw Moneyball. I reviewed it. Jason saw the Moneyball poster. He reviewed that. We'll get to that next week.
That was funny.
So for now, let's talk about baseball. Jason, did you have a good time last night?
I did. I'd had a long ass day in the Arizona sun, and it was nonstop baseball from about, I don't know, 9 in the morning until I got home. And when I got home, I mean, flipping back and forth between the ESPNs, checking my computer and checking my phone because everything was happening at once. Twitter vomited, you know, just over and over for about 4 hours.
The one thing I wish
it was overwhelming.
Was at certain points in the night, I kind of wish I took a video of my TweetDeck screen. Just because I have no idea. If you tweeted during some of the crazy moments, I have no idea what you said. Because it was just going too fast on my TweetDeck screen.
Yeah, I made a comment. I said like Papel bonered and just the little quips like everybody else. And then when Boston lost, I made a comment about how every time a bell rings, it means some sad Boston fan's beating a kid or something like that. And it got retweeted like 50 times. it was amazing. But no, it was the timeline was actually too fast.
Yeah.
Every time I would, the internet's kind of slow, so I have to like reset it. And every time I did, I have like, 60 or 70 messages. And it was like in 2 minutes.
Right. All I tweeted at one point was, I fucking love baseball. And that got retweeted like 200 times, and I got an email from a GM about it.
I mean, it was just like,
it was the
one big, long, cum shot, basically. Pardon my language. That's what it was. When it happened, it was just like, everything that you love about baseball came out at once. And sometimes, some people were able to articulate it, properly, and some people just had to just go baseball or just or whatever. and it was just awesome. It was the best baseball night of my life.
It was fantastic. Let's actually talk about the games themselves.
Okay.
First, I'm going to cough, so hold on a second. Or, just make another joke about something.
Well, I kind of regret saying cum shot now. For obvious reasons. So I'll go ahead and just mention it again. There it is.
So, Cardinals-Astros, who cares?
I didn't.
That was your least interesting. Obviously, it was an important game, but it was your least interesting of the four games. Cardinals ran away with it. Chris Carpenter pitched great. And let me just say something real quick. And then we'll get completely away from this game that was boring. I got an email from somebody very late last night, a Cardinals fan, Jason, who said, that it wasn't fair that all this stuff happened because it was putting the amazing pitching job by Chris Carpenter, it was leaving that in the shadows and people weren't talking about it enough.
Well, I mean, baseball isn't fair, yeah, and
tough shit, Cardinals kid.
You know, I mean, the narrative is more, the overall narrative of what was happening that night is more important than I think any individual act. And I think that that holds true for even like Longoria's home run. I think that's going to get lost in the shuffle.
Oh, totally.
The narrative of the night was it happened, you know, it happened like 6 minutes apart. And it happened to, you know, two very historic teams that had two very historic collapses. I'm sorry if the individual performances
Your Chris Carpenter shutout against the worst team in baseball gets out. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, and you know, on any given night, I mean, that'd be a nice story, but it can't eclipse the overall here, which I think is what
no one
you know,
gives
we're talking
a
about.
Shit. So that led to, that happened, that game got done quickly. That was actually the game, that game started an hour later than all the other games. All the other games were, 7 o'clock East Coast starts, and that was a 7 Central start, and that was the first to get done. And then that left us with staying in the National League. That left us with the Phillies and the Braves, and boy, the Braves completely fall apart at the end there. And there were so many opportunities for heroism. We saw Chris Medlin, who wasn't supposed to pitch all year, come into this game. When after Kimbrel blew it, and that boy, I hope that's not the hell his.
That's interesting, though.
Venter's almost
blew one it. Of their best stories all year long.
Yeah, Venter's almost blows it. Kimbrel does blow it because, look, those guys got overworked. There's no two ways about it, and they paid the price at the end of the year. They ran out of gas, and so they almost have a hero in Chris Medlin, who wasn't supposed to pitch all year. Who gets things done. They almost have a hero in Anthony Vivaro. They have so many opportunities at the plate and don't do it. And they just lost. That collapse, in my mind, their collapse was worse than the Red Sox. I know everyone's talking about the Red Sox. Their collapse was actually worse.
I agree. I mean, and this is why I think it's worse. I wasn't paying attention to their collapse.
Right!
You know? And all of a sudden, you know, we start talking about it like, oh, wait, the Braves aren't going to make the playoffs? What the fuck? Why aren't they? I thought that they were. I haven't been paying attention to what the Braves are doing. Oh, shit.
Right, we can't,
you know, everybody reminds me what's going on with the Red Sox.
Right.
They were talking about their collapse in fucking April.
And so it's just remarkable. And things just didn't go well for them. That game was so hard to watch. Like, if you watched the AL games, you had no idea what was going to happen. I don't. Maybe it was just my own sense of defeat or something. But watching that Braves game throughout the extra innings, every time they got someone on, you get the feeling it wasn't going to go right. And every time the Phillies got someone on, you were just like, okay, here they go. They're going to win. It's just not the whole vibe of that game was horrible and miserable and brutal.
It was sad.
So, let's start with Atlanta, since we're still in the National League, Jason. And that is, how does one fix Atlanta at this point?
I don't know. Why does it? I don't think it matters right now.
It's worth talking about. They just had the most historic collapse in National League history, or one of them at least.
Well, I think that's something that if you start worrying about it now, you're going to make it. You're not going to have any answers. I mean, you just come to camp next year, and you know you attempt to do what you attempted to do this year, is just, you know, carve out wins, get into the playoffs and see what happens. I think worrying about it now is just, I mean, you're not going to be able to fix anything right now, you know, just bust your ass. I mean, as individuals, the guys can go into camp in better shape with, you know, a more intense focus. And I'm not saying that their lack of intensity is
that's Boston.
Why they lost. Right. But I'm saying that you can't really do anything about it now. All you can do is, go into camp next year and do the same thing you attempted to do this year. I don't think you can worry about it now. It's over. Watch baseball or go hunting or do whatever those baseball players do.
And they do both of those things. So in the American League, let's start with the Red Sox-Orioles game. As the Orioles, or as many people on Twitter began to call them, the Fight and Show Walters, basically had as much fun the last couple of weeks as any team in baseball, beating up on the Red Sox. And then the Rays. It's basically when they played the Rays, they took care of them too. And had a lot of players on Jay Jaffe's fun article today where he wrote about the
That
team,
was a great
the team
article.
entropy all-stars, because he was rooting for the pure chaos that I think a lot of people were for. We were hoping for two games tonight. But boy, the Orioles played their part well. And that was a game that it certainly seemed like Boston was going to win. And then, they had the lead much of the game, but they should have scored about 9 runs in that game. And nonetheless, they only scored 3. It was 3-2. They're pitching Papelbon, and you're kind of like, they've thrown all caution to the wind. I get it. There's no way they're going to be able to win a playoff series here, because they have no human being with anything left in them. But they're going to get to the playoffs at least and not be this historic collapse. And then, of course, Papelbon blows it in the ninth on a, because he doesn't pitch well and because Carl Crawford can't catch a ball in left field anymore. And so that was as amazing a collapse as you'll ever see. But when that, right before that happened, it looked like, the Yankees at that time were up 7-0 on the Rays, behind a plethora of AAA arms and a grand slam by Mark Teixeira. And so there was no reason to think anything was going to matter, really.
And I didn't. I mean, when it was 7-0, I didn't give any thought to it. I thought, well, look at the Red Sox. I can just ride this out, and worst case scenario, if they happen to lose, well, they get an extra one.
Yeah, I mean, let me tell you how crazy this is. Because I spoke to somebody late last night. Works for the Rays, and he said, oh yeah, I'm getting ready to fly to Texas. And I said, oh, you guys got Texas? Because I didn't even look at who Tampa got if they won flat out, because it never looked like that was going to happen. So I never looked at the scenario. Now. And of course, the Yankees lost the game. People say they intentionally did, which they didn't, but they certainly didn't really care, because they don't have to. They've won their spot, and they know where they're going, and why pitch guys that they don't have to pitch. And so you got Scott Proctor for 2 innings, but now but that doesn't mean that it wasn't amazing. That doesn't mean the Longoria grant, home run wasn't amazing. It doesn't mean Dan Johnson, who hadn't hit a home run since 1974, wasn't.
Well, that's the more amazing.
That was even more amazing. And so the thing is, does it matter that with Tampa in instead of Boston, does that change the dynamics of the playoffs at all?
I mean, of course it does. It Look, any postseason without the Red Sox is missing an ingredient to a large chunk of the baseball population. There's no way around that. I mean, call it what you will, Boston and New York not being in the postseason at the same time leaves a hole in the American League. And right or wrong, there's a majority of the people think this. Tampa coming in, I mean, it's an interesting story. I think that people can attach to it. Ultimately, I don't think it matters. I don't think Tampa getting in really thrills people in the long run. I think Boston getting in is better for the game.
This is 2 personally. Years in a row with no Boston.
Yeah, and, there's so many storylines that you can attach to Boston, and, yeah, you can do the same for Tampa, but most people don't really care. I don't think the average fan, honestly, gives a shit that Matt Moore is going to get to start game one of the playoffs.
Well, let's talk about the series now. After we've discussed the greatest night of all time. And seriously, folks, I'm not – I tweeted this. I am not building this up as more what it was. Like 15 years from now, you're going to be going, remember that last game of the year in 2011, how crazy that night was? You're going to remember it.
Oh, man. We've all been watching baseball a long time. It had us all.
The way people remember, Bucky Dent or Bobby Thompson. I don't care. You're going to remember – what happened last night.
Absolutely.
But let's get to the playoffs, Jason. Let's start within the American League, because we were talking about Tampa. And that is, and again, these are your divisional series, so they're 5 games. Tampa Bay at Texas Rangers, and you've already said what the big story is, which is game one, and this is breaking news, really. It was just maybe announced in the last half hour or so. The Rays will be starting Matt Moore, who has made, of course, one start in the big leagues this year, and will now be starting game one of the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, that's exciting for people like us, because we know that Matt Moore is,
Is their best pitcher.
Well, he's arguably the top league arm in baseball, and he's a guy who, you know, we've seen throw. We know what he can do. It's very exciting. He's had a very, very long season, and he's going to step into a position where, you know, Tampa doesn't really, I guess you could say, you can make an argument that nobody has anything to lose at this stage, but
no.
Tampa really doesn't, you know, I mean, they're just going for it. Throwing more is actually a really smart thing because, you know, the Rangers haven't seen this kid. You know, they've done all the advanced work in the minors. They have plenty of, you know, data on Matt Moore. They know what he throws. They have all the scouting reports. The hitters haven't seen Matt Moore for the most part. You know, Josh Hamilton from the left side facing Matt Moore's 97 mile an hour fastball from the left side that has movement is a difficult thing for him to handle. I know he can hit velocity, but he's never seen it coming out of the hand. They don't know the release points. It's not going to be, you know, it actually gives the Rays an advantage here.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing to look at the splits for the Rangers, where as a team, they're almost exactly the same versus righties and lefties as a team. But that said, against lefties, they become this very all-or-nothing lineup where, Cruz, Beltre, Napoli all kill lefties, right? But you
that they've seen,
right? But you neutralize Davis. Mitch Moreland does nothing. David Murphy does nothing, and it becomes just this very up and down lineup. So there's going to be some hard innings and some easy innings for Moore. And you're right. I think the doesn't see him thing really matters with a good prospect more than an okay prospect. And Moore's a very good prospect. I can't wait. This is by far the most exciting game of the day. And sure, it's because we're both prospect people, but I mean, overall in a 5-game series, who do you got?
I mean, the Rangers are the better team, I think, but, anything could happen. Anything could happen in these series. So let's say that Moore goes in and the Rangers, it's not that they can't handle good pitchers. They can handle good pitchers. Major league hitters can hit major league pitching, but Matt Moore has been a major leaguer for like all of 5 minutes now. He's still very young, still has electric stuff. I think it's going to be a challenge for them. And all I'm saying is that if they go and struggle and CJ Wilson struggles and the Rays can take game one, I think that changes things, you know.
I think game one changes everything in these 5-game series for every team.
So, it's the same thing as, like, if you can knock out the Rangers at home in game one with a rookie relief return starter as a professional or as a major leaguer starting a second game ever or whatever, then that changes it's the same way if you knock Verlander out, because everybody said that, you know, Verlander's going to win every game he pitches. You know, there's the Verlander scare. What happens if the Tigers and Verlander doesn't get him one?
Then they're dead.
Then there's a real scare.
Yeah, and we should be clear. I think, I mean, just because we love Matt Moore. I mean, Matt Moore has a shot at throwing, you know, 7 2-hit innings tomorrow, and he has exactly the equal chance to be done in the third or the fourth.
Absolutely, he's still a 22-year-old pitcher, or 21, or however old he is.
Yeah, we don't know how bad he's going to be or how good he's going to be. He just has really a lot of talent.
But what I will say is that it's a big stage. But I mean,
yeah,
he's not a guy who's going to shit his pants on the mound, and that's why he has the ball in game one. Trust me, he is not going to fucking shit his pants.
No,
he may have a shaky performance, but it's not going to be because he's overwhelmed by the pressure.
And his middle name's Cody, and I think that counts for something.
I don't really like the name Cody. So I changed my opinion on him. He is going to shit his pants.
So let's get into the other series in the American League, which, of course, is going to involve game one will involve two pitchers with a little more playoff experience, or a little more experience, period, as pitching well. And that is the Tigers and the Yankees. And, of course, game one is the one everyone wants to see with Justin Verlander and CC Sabathia.
It is the series, okay? I mean, look, let's go back to the average fan thing. Do you think the average fan, not New York, can name the second starter that New York's going to throw out?
No.
I know that nobody can name anybody else in the Tigers rotation. I don't even think baseball people can do that. All right, this is the series. It shouldn't be, but this is the series. Mm-hmm. Game one is the series. And it's the only game I want to watch of the series.
We don't know what the other schedule is going to look like.
I got plans.
I got to tell you, this is going to be – we get to find out if Doug Fister is for real. We get to figure out if Joe Girardi has any idea what to do after his first starter.
Nova.
Here's the thing is this game one obviously is you know, to use a cliche, a marquee matchup. But it's the games after this that are going to be totally, completely awesome. Because you're,
I mean, they could be eight to seven games.
Yes, in the fourth.
Right. Because the pens are going to get used. Right, you know.
Okay, I mean, Doug Fister might be—he's been fantastic since coming over. I don't want to take anything away from Doug Fister, but he's still Doug Fister. And then, but you got these weird games where, you know, maybe AJ's pitching and maybe AJ's going to be coming out of the pen and weird things are happening. They have one starter, folks, and we can tell. Ivan Nova won 16. They have one starter. Okay, one. Everything else is smoke and mirrors and bullshit. They have one starter, and they got to the. They won the American League East with the one starter, but that's what they have.
Yeah, it's game one, and then it's Proctor Fest, you know, across the board. And, you know, until those guys come back again.
So for pure entertainment, game one's going to be great. Look, Verlander, Sabathia, it's going to be totally awesome. But so is game two and three and four, because they're going to be just messy festivals of. Of crap. They're gonna be fantastic for that. I can't tell you. I love this year. I'm looking forward to this series so much.
It's gonna be interesting.
So the less romantic National League, has two of their own series, Jason.
They do.
And the first one, of course, is St. Louis and Philadelphia. With St. Louis getting on the last day, and you know, my first question is: does the fact that St. Louis is kind of the hot team matter, and if does it even matter if you're hot when you're playing Philadelphia?
I don't think being hot matters at all. It's a new series, it's new matchups, you know, new battles, new adjustments that need to be made. You know, here's the problem for St. Louis is that they're going up against a team that, you know, you're going to have to adjust to them, and they have the upper hand, in my opinion, across the board. So, you know, anything can happen in a short series, but you're going to have to, you know, you have an uphill battle against those arms, and to score enough runs against those arms to give yourself the lead. I don't know. I'm not seeing it.
Now the Cardinals, of course, have, you know, they Chris Carpenter and then the clincher. And by all means, we should give Chris Carpenter all the credit in the world. For what happened?
He pitched a good game.
He pitched great. But, you got overshot for a reason, pal. But Philadelphia's just going to kill them, right?
Anything can happen in a short series.
Philadelphia's just going to kill them, right?
If I were forced to bet on the game, yeah, I mean, I'd pick Philadelphia. I think Philadelphia's going to kill just about everybody if those arms pitch to capability. I don't think anybody can touch those guys.
And so,
in a short series, fuck no, you don't have a. I mean, it, as I said, it's uphill. Anything can happen in a short series, you know.
And so here's my other...
Who would have thought that the Cardinals would have come back to make the playoffs?
Right.
Who would have thought that the Rays could make the playoffs? I mean, anything can happen. Will it happen? It's highly unlikely.
And so my other question is, Arizona and Milwaukee is a much better series. Milwaukee is my kind of... If we're doing playoff picks to click, give me Milwaukee.
Well, I mean...
I think Milwaukee is going to kill Arizona, and I think they could beat Philadelphia.
They have, you know, they're kind of like a less heralded Philadelphia. You know, they have the rotation, obviously not quite the names, but they have really good arms. They also have the pop. You know, they also have the lineup. You know, they're a scary team in a short series too. They're anything can happen. You know, but Milwaukee is definitely a team to. They can do it. I mean, I don't think that they'll beat the Phillies, but I think that they're a team that can.
I think they will. That's just my upset special. I don't have any sort of special reason for it other than I love that lineup so much. And, you know, the thing about this is Arizona. I'm never a big fan of a team. How many people in the Arizona lineup genuinely scare you? One.
One.
And, you know, Justin Upton should scare you. But after that, you know, I'm not really scared of anyone in that lineup if I'm facing off against them. you know?
No, I'm not. I mean, they have an interesting story because I don't know of anybody personally who picked them to finish above last division. So,
I have fourth.
well, then I know one person. But I don't know. I don't know what to think about Arizona. I don't, honestly, I don't really care because I don't see them advancing. But I guess I'll start to care if they start to play well in the postseason. I don't know. I haven't given them a lot of thought. There's been the other narratives have taken up my time.
It's
We're still, well, think about it. There's too much shit going on this postseason to worry about the amazing accomplishment that the Diamondbacks pulled off. I mean, here's a team that was supposed to finish last, that most people picked to finish last, and they found a way to win the division, and now they're heading into the postseason, and no one's given a shit about it because there's so many. It's the best postseason, heading up into the postseason in baseball history because of last night. I think the Diamondbacks, not fucking Carpenter, the Diamondbacks are the team that lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, I think they've been lost all year in their own kind of way. Now, do you
I
end
kind of
up
want.
with a rooting interest in some of in these? I mean, I know you grew up a Rangers fan, but like in the National League series, do you have a rooting interest? Do you care? Or do you just want to see good baseball?
I just want to see good baseball, and that applies to the American League as well. I look, you do this as well, or you have to deal with this as well. Is that you have when you cover national prospects, you have people from all organizations who like to comment on your work or send you questions or whatever. You run into their opinions from time to time, and some of them are it makes root against their team. And that even the Rangers. Like the super fanboys, when their team wins, they don't win with class. They take to Twitter, they take to their articles, and they write a bunch of horse shit, and it's really rah-rah fanboy stuff. And it makes me root against their team, even if I like that team. And it happens with every single team in baseball. And it gets to the point that by after a full season of national coverage,
You
which I
want
don't have many under my belt,
them to lose.
I want them to lose, and
Here's
so that the
the
fans will take a shotgun to themselves, basically, metaphorically, of course.
You know, here's the let me just say this about, 'cause I mean, obviously you see the fanboyism on all over the internet and in comment boards and on Twitter and places like that. Look, just stop it. You're first of all, let me let you know one thing. The players on your team are no cooler people than the players in any of the other seven playoff teams. Your manager is not smarter, nor is your front office in any sort of giant way. That's the stuff that I can't stand. That's when I get bothered. When if you want to say that's a great play by someone, that's great. If you want to act like that
It's
guy is
completely
like, if
different,
you want
yeah.
to act like that guy's like a cooler person or a better dude, stop it. Stop it now. 'Cause he's not.
Right, that's what I'm talking about. It kind of, I mean, it happens with every org, and
Every
like
team has these people.
every team has this, and it gets to the point where I actually want to see your team lose so that I can see you sad. That's what it comes down to. But I mean, ultimately, I'm just kidding. Is it? I just want to see good baseball, And if the Rangers go to the World Series, that's great. And there's still a part of me that wants to see that happen. But I just want to see good baseball, period. I don't care if the Rangers lose to the Rays in three. I want to see good baseball.
So again, we love baseball, we love the playoffs. That's my fine lead-in into our final topic of discussion,
Okay.
Ozzie
Jesus.
Guillen.
Wow,
Now, of
huh?
course, now Wednesday, of course, or last night being Wednesday. Oh, the drugs are kicking in, Jason. Thank you, Nike.
Aren't they always?
Thank you, Nike. Was obviously Wednesday was this historic night, but the night before we had plenty of drama, and then it all kind of pushed aside because of Ozzie. And Ozzie got released from his contract and got. I know it's not officially traded. There, it's kind of a weird sign, and there's a compensation aspect to it. But Ozzie basically got traded to the Marlins for a couple of prospects on the downswing of their prospectum. It was, and then of course Ozzie had his press conferences. On Tuesday night, had Wednesday, Wednesday morning. Tuesday, he dropped two F-bombs. And then it was kind of a remarkable story. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
if the Marlins can't deal with Logan Morrison cracking PG-13 jokes once in a while on Twitter, why do they want Ozzie as their manager?
I mean, I can't answer that question. I have no idea.
My notes had a long relationship with Loria. I don't know. He's known Loria for a long time, and Loria loves him, all that crap. How can you do this?
I wouldn't, but then again, I mean, I don't really know specifics of the Morrison thing. I don't know if it's as simple as he made a couple of tweets that they didn't like, and it started that way. You know, it's too simple for me. It never works that way.
Yeah.
You know, so I can't speak to the specifics about that, but I bet you there's more to it than just a couple of people took offense to a couple of tweets. Obviously, bringing Guillen in, it helps establish identity for a team that's trying to take a step forward in that city. You know, it gives them somebody that they can market in that community, which I think is important. Other than that, as far as like the baseball mind goes, I don't know. I questioned that move more than I questioned the marketing side.
It was amazing to watch Ozzy the second day, the Florida press conference, basically admit that he was cashing it in the last couple of years. He said he's been thinking about going to Florida for a couple years, you know, and there, you know, this year it didn't feel good managing here, and he'd give it all when he managed it, but he didn't really think about it after the game, and he'd never the same in it, and now he's all excited about being in Miami.
Yeah, I don't know what to say, but I do have a this just happened.
Oh, good.
I'm standing next to Wilmer Font here, Rangers pitcher, and he's as big as a fucking horse.
Is he right next to you?
Yeah.
Can we have him as a guest on the show?
No. No, but really, this is a big human being.
Are the players staying at the same hotel you are?
Yeah. So anyway, that just happened. I'm talking like 6'4", 240.
Yeah, he's a big, big guy. How's his arm?
He's on schedule. He's been rehabbing out here. I haven't seen any of the secondary stuff yet, but it's progressing. He's the type of guy that he's got such an electric arm that once he comes back, he's already on the 40-man roster. Burned an option this year.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, instead of DLing him. So he is going to – this is a fast-track situation, and this is a guy who can throw, you know, 98, 99 when healthy with – you know, some sort of breaking ball, but we'll see. I mean, the body is fucking huge. I mean, he can hear me.
Considering this, considering the situation, do you think they'll bullpen him?
I would. Yeah, I think they will.
So, speaking of that, just happened. This has just been announced. This is interesting, as we just talked about the Rays starting Matt Moore. The Yankees will have Jorge Posada as their DH instead of Jesus Montero. That's the difference. That's everything right there. So the Rays are
leadership.
Gonna, right. The Rays experience. Are going to do, you know, go with their best player, and the Yankees are going to go with their best historical player as opposed to their best player right now.
Well, it's unfortunate, but because I want to see Montero. But then again, it doesn't look like a good baseball decision, but the manager has a better handle of that team than I do.
Exactly.
You know. Maybe Montero is not ready to take that.
He's totally ready. He's fine. He's good.
I'm saying he's a better player. What I'm saying is that we don't know what's going on in that kid's head, and the manager has a better idea of that.
Manager.
Now, is the truth is that he's going with Posada because he's the old warhorse? Yes, that's the truth. I'm spinning it a little bit, but I'm saying we don't have all the information.
Tiny benefit of the doubt. I think that's fair.
Yes, tiny bit.
Do you have anything else to say to our listeners before I collapse?
Wilmer Font's about to get into a very small cab.
Where do you think he's going?
Oh, man, who knows?
You think he's going to go?
Who knows, but he's getting in.
He's going to get some barbecue or something?
Barely. I don't think he's getting barbecue.
Where do you think he might be?
I think he's going somewhere. I don't know. The kids who don't have cars, which is most of them because it's a lot of young kids here, and most people don't have here, is that they're just going to go out for a couple hours and get some food and come back. They have to be back for curfew.
What's curfew, do you know?
I do know.
What is it?
It is 11.
Okay, well, then I need you to get in your room, Jason.
We've had some FIFA gatherings already. Some of these kids can play FIFA. I'm just telling you that they are better than me at FIFA.
This does not surprise me.
That's right. Right.
So we'll go play some FIFA.
That's all I got.
Thank you for joining us for a short episode. We'll be back next week. Jason, you'll be back, right?
I'll be back next week, and then I'm leaving the country again for a couple of weeks.
Jason will be back in New York next week. I will be healthy next week, and we'll do a full show with your emails. Still email us, podcast@baseballperspectives.com. So we'll do tons of emails. We'll wrap up what's going on in the playoffs. We'll have special guests. We'll do the goofy stuff. We'll have music from Thrice. We'll do all that great stuff. So thank you for listening. Jason, say goodbye to the internet.
Goodbye.
We'll talk to you a whole hell of a lot more next week.